flexibility and adaptation. A key feature of successful crisis management is the ability to remain flexible and adapt to changing circumstances. So, adaptive supply chain model encourages supply chain flexibility by developing models that allow for quick adaptation. This might include flexible contracts, adjustable production schedules, or on-demand procurement practice. So, what it means is there are no fixed rules. In a crisis, you need to actually look at what is the best thing which can be done to restore normalcy. And for that, you need not have to simply go by the strategies that you have already outlined. Maybe you may have to, deviate from those strategies based on the current situation. So you need to be very flexible. And we have also seen this in the past, where we said that we need to have flexible contracts so that we can actually source more quantities if wherever required. Adjustable production schedules. So again, nothing is sacrosanct. Based on the need, we can make changes in our practices. On-demand procurement practices. So, maybe there is a certain lead time, etc. But you can insist on your suppliers making special supplies at short notice, etc. in the case of a crisis. Temporary adjustments, make temporary modifications to the supply chain, such as changing delivery routes or adjusting the volume of production to manage the crisis specific challenges. Self-explanatory, so we have already talked about the plan A, plan B, etc., where you already need to have different routes that can be used in the case of a crisis. Scenario planning. So during a crisis, it is important to continuously evaluate the evolving situation and revise the strategy. Scenario planning can help predict different outcomes and enable rapid decision making. So looking at the current situation, your strategy can change. So even the strategies are not actually cut in stone. So you find that a particular situation, a current situation requires deviation from the strategies that you already chalked out, then those changes can be made. One has to look at what is the best to actually restore normalcy. So the scenario planning will be to, change your strategy as the situation may demand. Rapid response and recovery. So during and after a crisis, the ability to respond swiftly and recover quickly is vital for minimizing the losses and resuming normal supply chain operations. Longer the crisis lingers, it means losses for the business. Losses, even it may be difficulty for the customer, because who has been actually depending on your produce? So if they are not we are not able to supply to them, that is also going to cause a lot of hardship for them. So it's necessary that we recover from the crisis rapidly and we resume normalcy at the earliest. So immediate impact mitigation. When a crisis occurs, take immediate action to address the most urgent needs. For example, after a natural disaster, ensure that affected communities have access to food, water, and medical supply. In a situation like flooding, etc., where you will find a lot of devastation, there is no drinking water, etc. And many times you will find that there are diseases which start spreading because a lot of pests, etc., die during the floods. And you will find that there is a stench and there is a chance of actually illnesses being propagated. So quickly, the community has to ensure that people have access to food, water, medical supply, because even when there is flooding in the homes, etc., whatever food, grains, etc., which is stored may have all been destroyed, because of the flood water, etc. So clean drinking water, these become scarce and these need to be immediately provided to the community. Alternative transportation route, we have already talked about this as part of number of this thing. So if transportation routes are disrupted, identify and deploy alternative routes to ensure the flow of essential goods. Recovery and restoration plan. So after the crisis subsides, focus on restoring normal operations as quickly as possible. This could involve repairing the infrastructure, restoring agricultural activities, or re-establishing market connections. So you may find that your communication network is broken, your roads are broken, so there are certain bridges, etc., which may have been destroyed or damaged. So you need to actually restore the roads and the infrastructure, etc. And this needs to be done on a priority so that the normal operations can be restored. Post-crisis evaluation. After the crisis is managed, conduct a post-crisis evaluation to assess the response and identify areas for improvement. So after you have overcome the crisis, after you have restored the normalcy, there has to be introspection as to how did we handle the crisis and what can be improved. I mean, there are many lessons to learn from. It's nice if you say that everything went off very well and you handled the crisis perfectly. But generally, that is never the case. And many a times, you find that there are gaps that come to light and these need to be bridged. So it's any crisis is a learning, for future crisis, etc. So this helps refine future crisis management strategies and build long-term resilience. Because ultimately, how do you overcome this kind of a situation and how do you even avoid the crisis in future? So like we say that, if you have a Kutch bridge and the bridge got washed away, etc., the solution could be that you basically force the government, influence the government to build a proper infrastructure in terms of strong bridges, etc., or build better roads which are not affected due to the flooding, etc., which will not get washed away easily. So this kind of efforts can prevent a future crisis or lessen the impact of the crisis and build resilience. So post-crisis resilience building. Once the immediate crisis has passed, focus on long-term resilience to ensure that the supply chain is better prepared for future disruptions. So the lessons learned is basically to how to make the supply chain more resilient so that in future, the impact can be further lessened. I mean, whatever impact you may have faced. Infrastructure resilience. Invest in strengthening infrastructure that is vulnerable to crisis, such as road, bridges, warehouse, storage facility. We talked about this. So like in warehouse or storage facility, if you find that they are vulnerable, then you try and improve upon it. Like, if the floor needs to be raised so that, water does not damage the grains, etc., which are stored there, or, similar kind of facility. So these need to be strengthened. Sustainable agricultural practice. Encourage farmers to adopt sustainable practices such as climate smart agriculture to minimize vulnerability to future environmental risk. So even, we are talking of, let's say, drought-like situation. So using of your resources like water, fertilizer, etc., in a very smart way, in a environmentally friendly way, can actually help you in to a great deal. The drip irrigation, etc., comes from countries like Israel, which face severe shortage as far as resources such as water is concerned. So they are teaching us how to use these resources in a very measured or in a very scarce manner, at the same time getting very effective results. So these kind of practices need to be established. And the wisdom does exist. It's a matter of implementing them. Capacity building. Provide ongoing training to farmers, workers, and community leaders on crisis management, resilience building, and adaptation strategies. So it's an ongoing process where you have to train the farmers, train the workers. You have to define the role that in a crisis, who will play what role, who will be responsible for what actions, etc. Learning and continuous improvement. So effective crisis management is a continuous process. So as we said, because crises are not going to happen once or twice, these are going to happen over and over again. And how we cope up with them will actually decide the impact it has on the supply chain. So effective crisis management is a continuous process that improves over time. And the key aspects involved here are, one, knowledge sharing. So after a crisis, share the lessons learned. We already saw this in the previous slides, that there are lessons to be learned after every crisis on what you did right and what needed to improve. So these need to be learned and shared with the stakeholders and other regions to improve the collective crisis management capability. Investing in technology, use technology to improve early warning systems. So if you don't have early warning systems, then maybe you can invest in the technology so that in future you have early warning and you are better prepared for any crisis. Communication channels need to be established. Logistical capability for future crisis. So you found that during a crisis, you were isolated and cut off from the urban areas. So you need to set up logistical capabilities for future crisis. And you need to identify new routes, etc. So that in case the crisis repeats, you are better prepared. Ongoing monitoring and risk assessment. So continuous monitor potential risk and update the risk management plan based on the past experience and new challenges. So you may find that you drew up a risk management plan, but you never visualized an epidemic like a COVID. But once you face the risk, then you add to the, this particular risk, because it's a distinct possibility. And it can occur again. So these needs to be constantly updated. Likewise for other kind of risks also. Because, as the technology is evolving, even the kind of risks are constantly evolving. For example, with technology, there is a chance of systems being hacked, systems getting collapsed. So these are new kinds of risk which one has to be alive to, and constantly you need to mitigate this kind of a risk. So in summary, effective crisis management in rural supply chain necessitates a coordinated strategy that integrates preparedness, communication, collaboration, and adaptability. We have seen how all these plays an important role. By engaging in proactive crisis planning, setting up transparent communication pathways, and ensuring a capacity for rapid adaptation, rural supply chains can reduce the effect of disruptions and enhance their recovery process. The whole purpose is to make the supply chain resilient, make the impact minimum, so that for every occurrence or every crisis, the impact on the supply chain can be further reduced. Ultimately, the implementation of these strategies will foster resilience and guarantee the continued strength of rural supply chain when confronted with future challenges. Coming to communication plan and contingency plan in crisis management. So in the context of crisis management in a rural environment, and communication plans and contingency plans are the essential components. You need to have a well-defined contingency plan that will help you to effectively counter any situation or emergency. So these plans are specifically tailored to address the unique challenge faced in rural areas with limited infrastructure or isolation, geographical isolation, and lack of access to real-time information. So what is it? A communication plan outlines how information will be shared during a crisis, ensuring all stakeholders are informed, coordinated, and aligned in their actions. In rural areas where communication infrastructure can be sparse, a well-thought-out communication strategy is crucial for managing the response to crisis. So we have already looked at this, that communication is the key, transparency is the key, and all stakeholders have to be on the same information level. So what are the key components of a communication plan? One, clear communication channels. There has to be a clarity on which are the communication channels which are going to be used. We already saw the importance of roles and responsibility. Clarity on which are the roles which have to perform and who will be the people who are responsible and who is the target audience. That means who are the people who are to be addressed during the crisis. What is the message content and what is the clarity that needs to be there. Multiple platforms, we'll come to this a little later. What are the feedback mechanisms and ongoing updates? So let's look at each of them in detail. So during a flood crisis, a rural community might rely on radio broadcast and SMS alert to stay informed about the rising water levels. Road closures, emergency evacuation routes, local leaders or village heads could further communicate this information to the people who do not have mobile phones, etc. There could be other communication methods. Like in the good old days, you had vehicles with loudspeakers which would actually move in the villages, etc., making certain announcement. So there has to be a clear communication plan of how you will communicate, and it has to cover the entire population. That means it's not necessary that you just make a radio announcement or you make a SMS broadcast, because not everyone may be having access to this kind of technology. A contingency plan is a detailed strategy for responding to specific risks or crises when they occur. So it's a detailed plan for every kind of a crisis. So it will be different if it is for a drought, it will be different if it is for a flood, it will be different if it is for a earthquake or something. It focuses on ensuring that operations continue with minimal disruptions and that the community and supply chain can recover quickly again. You know, the whole purpose is how we can lessen the impact of the crisis. So in rural settings, contingency plans are often developed for various scenarios. And we already saw that the scenarios could be, the geographical development, weather, that is environment related, market related, natural events, crop failures, every kind of a thing, or there is a disruption in logistics, etc. So what are the key components of a contingency plan? Risk scenarios and assessment, critical resources and priorities, alternative sourcing and supply chain. We have addressed some of these, but we will look at it in more detail. Emergency response protocols, coordination with external agencies, resource mobilization and logistics, training and simulation, recovery and restoration plans. So in rural context, in the event of a prolonged drought, a rural community might have a contingency plan that involves the provision of emergency water source. So you may bring in water in tankers from the neighboring towns, etc., and thus you may lessen the impact of the drought. Also, you may have drought resistant crops, etc., which are grown in the area. That means if the area that you are located in or where the business is located, it is prone to frequent drought, etc., then you try and grow crops which are drought resistant. And you can partner with the local government bodies, NGOs, or even private enterprises, which can help you and aid in growing this kind of crops, etc., and providing the necessary support and inputs for growing this kind of crops. So difference between communication plan and contingency plan in a crisis management. So what are the purpose? The communication plan focuses on ensuring clear, timely, and effective communication to all the stakeholders. And this is before, during, and after the crisis. So early warning, when the crisis is in full bloom, giving an update, and then once the crisis is over, for the recovery. The contingency plan is a broader strategy. It involves mainly actions. So communication is about information and contingency plan is necessarily about actions. So contingency plan is a broader strategy that defines the steps needed to maintain operations and recover from the crisis, including resource mobilization and logistical coordination. So scope, the communication plan addresses how information is exchanged. And we say exchange because it's not a one-way communication. Like we said, that there could be inputs which are provided by the stakeholders to the leadership or the management committee, which is actually heading the crisis management. So while the contingency plan focuses on the specific actions to be taken, resources needed, and recovery strategies. So communication is basically about just information, whereas contingency focuses on specific action which need to be taken for handling the crisis and recovery from the crisis. Implementation. The communication plan is active throughout the crisis, providing regular updates and clarifications, whereas the contingency plan is more about ensuring that operational continuity and recovery occur smoothly. Again, one is about simply disseminating the information, and the other is about ensuring continuity of the operations, which means, again, action, action, action.